Yes, sir. Oh, man. You know, I went to the Department of Motor Vehicles today, Rodney, and even that wasn't
I was going
as
to ask you
depressing.
how that went. How did I'm surprised you're on here. When you said at the end of the morning show that you were going to the DMV, I'm like, all right, well, he won't be on at noon.
Yeah.
How the hell did you make that happen?
Believe it or not, Double R, I was in and out of the DMV within 10 minutes.
What the hell? Do you know somebody?
Basically set a Guinness World Record with my
call
time.
In favor or something.
Well, I was in and out, but I didn't get what I needed to get.
That's what I thought.
And we got to start today's show with a little soapbox, because nowadays you have to schedule appointments to meet with the DMV. Like back in my day, you just had to show up super early. It was almost like you were getting in line at Franklin Barbecue. Like, just get there hours before they open, and hopefully you're one of the first people in line so you can get in and out of there in a relatively short amount of time.
Right, right, right.
I don't know if COVID changed that. Maybe that changed before COVID. I don't know what changed it. But now you have to go online to the DMV website in the state of Texas and schedule an appointment. So, obviously, living in Austin, my first plan was to schedule an appointment in Austin. You cannot get a DMV appointment in the Austin area. I mean, Georgetown, Kyle, Austin, anywhere in basically central Texas for 3 months. Like, the quickest you can get in there if you try to set an appointment right now is July. Okay. Yep. So I'm like, all right, well, my license expired in March on my birthday, so I'm going to try to get something done before that. I'm like, all right, let's check Galveston, right? Like, way less people in Galveston than in Austin. I'm coming down to Galveston for a couple of days, so I'll just get it done down here. Why not? Mm-hmm. And you can get an appointment. You can go online and get a DMV appointment in Galveston in 10 minutes. Like, literally, you go online and you could set up an appointment for today, tomorrow, any day between now and the end of time, and it's no problem. So I did that. I'm like, sweet. I know I'll be here on Thursday. I know I'll have some time to make it happen. So I set up the appointment, and I drove over to the DMV. And, you know, I had my old driver's license, and I even brought a copy of my social security card. Just like, you know, if they ask for a second form of identification for some reason, then I'll be good to go, right? I don't know why they would, because I have my driver's license with me. So that should be enough to get me another driver's license. Mm-hmm. Apparently, that is not enough, Double R, because I got there, had my appointment set. I go up to the woman. I'm like, hey, how are you? What are you here to? And she says, what are you here to do? I'm like, here for a driver's license renewal. She's like, great. Do you have your passport? I was like, I'm sorry, what now? She's like, do you have your passport? I'm like, no, why do I need a passport? She's like, well, you need verification of who you are. I'm like, yeah, I've got my driver's license, and I got all these credit cards, and I've got these.
All these credit cards.
I've got the social security. Like, what do you mean? She's like, you need a passport. I'm like, for what for? She's like, you have to verify who you are. I'm like, you guys gave me this license that verifies who I am. It's got my name. It's got my address. It's got my picture. And y'all, I didn't go steal this. Y'all have it in your database. Y'all gave this to me. It even tells you, and it tells me exactly the day that y'all gave it to me. Why does this not work? She's like, need a passport, honey. I'm like, I stopped arguing at that point because I knew it wasn't her rule. And I knew I wasn't going to win. Like, I always get a kick out of people who just stand in those spots and just argue for like 30 minutes. It's like, they're not going to change their mind. You're literally just wasting your time at that point. So I'm like, all right, I'm not going to waste my time. I am just going to leave. I'm going to get out of here. So apparently you need a passport now to get a new driver's license. And of course, my passport's in Austin, because who the hell brings a passport when you're driving from Austin to Galveston? That's absurd. So yeah. So a failed trip. And now I have no idea when I'm going to get a new driver's license. I guess it's July in Austin. I don't know.
You didn't take a shit in the sidewalk on the way out?
Man, that wouldn't have been a bad idea. But how does that make sense? I have my license. Like, why does that not work?
Let me tell you. So last year, so my driver's license expired. And I mean, I hadn't had to go take the picture and all that. I think I had done two renewals to where I hadn't had to go.
Yeah.
And thank goodness, my wife looked up and like Daryl G says right here, wherever the hell it's at, I took my birth certificate because they asked the same thing. Yep. And it's like, you've got to have another for. And so luckily I had that and it all went well. Other than the fact that I sit down and I give the guy my old, you know, the old expired license, which I'd been driving around for about 3 months because I couldn't get a damn appointment. He looks at that and says, "Is that you?" I'm like, "Bitch, that was 15 years ago. Give me a break." I'm like, "You just stand by. Give me a break."
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, it really was. And he took that, and he took my birth certificate. He had gloves on and shit. And he's sitting there looking at that, and they ran it through some database or whatever. It's like, what? This, it did used to be. I remember that. Get your license, just happen to go over there. Maybe one of those things you have to sit. You've got number 60, they're on number 20. You just plan to stay there all day. But now it's like, holy smoke,
dude.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, dude.
So it's funny you say that, because I told her I didn't have a passport, and she's like, "Okay, well, let me see your license." And I'm thinking, all right, maybe that is all I need to have. And she takes my license and she starts typing in her computer, right? Just typing away for like 5 minutes. I'm like, what could she possibly be typing? Maybe she's just typing in all of my address, my birthday, just all the information on there. And that's going to be enough to get me a new driver's license.
Yeah.
And then she's like, "Yeah, I was just looking to see if you were in our system, but you're not in our system." I'm like,
What?
I'm like, "Wait, what does that mean? How am I not in your system?" She's like, "Yeah, we've got a birth certificate system here and you're not in there." I'm like,
"Yeah."
I felt like I'm getting the Barack Obama treatment. Are you questioning whether or not I'm an American citizen? Like, what do you mean I'm not in your system? You gave me this license. Like, how am I not in the system? I was born here. I have a bunch of evidence on me that says I have lived here. I couldn't get the last license if I wasn't a citizen. So how the hell am I all of a sudden not a citizen now? Like, what? Yeah. And why am I not in the database? Now I'm like, oh, shit. I got to ask my parents some questions. Where was I actually born?
Dude, Kansas,
but maybe not.
And it's like, you know, I have had that same driver's license number forever. Yeah. And it's like, you know, I can recite that thing because I've had to do it. And you have to type it in for every damn thing else. And it's like the other day going through TSA. So, you know, I don't have the clear and all that other shit. I mean, I do it the regular screening type of thing. Oh. And so we're going through and, you know, you have to do the license thing. He spits it through that thing or whatever, and I'm standing there. And it was like 2 minutes, and I'm like, what the hell's going to pop up here? I mean, I know every time that we've traveled out of the country, coming back through customs, I get hauled in. I'm assuming that's just for the last name. But it's like, and I'm sitting there waiting, and then he pulls it out, and he's like, I'm like, it's really me, I think. It's wait. It's way too complicated.
Yeah. Is that a bit? Like, was he just messing with you or something? Like,
I don't know. I don't know. And you know, the funny thing about it is, like, when I went to get the driver's license renewed and I'm sitting there, my big concern going there was going to be that they were going to tell me, "Hey man, this thing's been expired for 3 months. You've been driving all this time with an expired driver's license." But it wasn't that.
Yeah.
It was like, let's make sure that this is me that was born wherever. Back then. Oh my God. That's ridiculous.
I think the good news, like if you are traveling domestically, because of COVID, I think you get like a 6 month grace period now with your license. Maybe it's a year. So like I've flown a couple of times since my birthday, since my license expired, and it's been okay. And I've got an up-to-date passport. So that obviously could work as well and would work for international flights. But there's a little bit of a grace period that you get right now, which is good. But man, if I get pulled over by a cop and he's just like, "Your license is expired," maybe he's going to have to hear, he or she's going to have to hear the whole story.
Yep.
Like, sorry. Now you got to hear why I don't have a new license. It's because the state of Texas has gone ridiculously mad with this whole process here.
Oh my God. It really is. You know, I used to joke around about plan to spend the day at the DMV or whatever the thing.
That's what it used to be, right? Before the appointments. And I get the appeal of the appointments because it's like, okay, you go, you set a time and it's easy and hopefully you can get in and out there relatively quickly because they want to stay on schedule. But I mean, you got to wait 3 months in advance to get an appointment. What are we doing here?
I know. That was the thing. When my shit expired, I'm like, "Oh, I'll just go next week." Well, no.
Yeah. No. That's what I thought too.
Yeah. And I love how they say, if you want to attempt to do a walk-up appointment, go ahead, but we can't guarantee that. And I'm like, no shit. You're backed up 3.5 months. I'm assuming I'm not just going to go rolling up there and get my stuff renewed. Oh, dude, I'm sorry about that. But I was wondering when you were back here. I was like, there's no way that that happened that quick.
Dude, I mean, I left. I would say the DMV is probably 20 minutes away from my folks' place. I left at, I don't know, 10:15. I was back before 11. Like, I was literally in there for less than 10 minutes. There was hardly anybody inside, too. I didn't have to wait in line once I walked in. She called me up right away, and it's almost like that's been a problem for them. The fact that that was, like, her first question, do you have a passport? It's like, so many people made the mistake that I just made. They just, like, why the hell would I need a passport? I live in Galveston, and I just drove to Galveston. What do you mean I need a passport for this? I have my license. Just give me the exact same thing with a new picture and a new date on there, please.
Yeah. But
that's not how she goes these days.
Yeah. Code of text line, 512-222-9328. Of course, you guys feel free to jump in there if you're not on the YouTube feed. Hair of the Dog says, I had to deal with the same bullshit at the DMV. It's a Department of Homeland Security nonsense. Look. I remember I'm old enough when I used to fly and you didn't have any of that stuff.
Yeah.
You just kind of showed up and you kind of rolled up in there.
Bring back the smoking sections. We need more smoking on airplanes. Come on.
Yeah. That was the whole thing. I mean, I get it. It's a different world, man, but it is way too hard to do anything these days, man. It's like, I'm glad that ordering pizza is still easy. Because it's like, look, that's the one thing that hadn't gotten screwed up that I can just call. They'll give me the tracker. Boom. In the words of Ike, boom, it shows up at my house.
Just like that.
Goodness.
You don't even have to call anymore. You can just go on an app and do it. Some things have gotten easier with time, but some things have gotten significantly more difficult with time. So,
there you go.
There's my soapbox for the day.
No, I totally get that, man.
The DMV continues to suck for a different reason now. But it continues to suck. So hopefully if you have to go out there soon, you don't make the same mistake that apparently I did. Because I don't even know if I'm American anymore. So I got to do Ancestry.com and see where I'm actually from.
And kind of, you know, if the DMV wants to be that, precise and all of this stuff, I think they had to scale things back and actually go to the driving factor. We go to the DMV, Department of Motor Vehicles. That's a driver's license. Maybe we start like rescanning people for their license. Be like, give you a little driver's test. I'm not just talking about older folks. I'm talking about middle-aged folks. You know, it's like you have to retest a little bit. Maybe we don't give that back to you. You don't need that anymore. You got it at Kmart back in the 60s. You don't need it anymore.
When you got your driver's license, did you have to take a driving test?
Yeah, I had to drive. And it was the same thing. You know, I lived in a small town. I mean, I went to Lockhart. I drove around Lockhart for a little bit with the guy, and he's like, okay, sounds good. And boom, I was done. Did you have to drive or no?
Never did.
I never did.
I think the reason why, and I don't know if this law or rule still applies, but I took, I guess, a state sanctioned driving course. And I guess just passing that driver's ed counted as passing a driver's test. So literally on my 16th birthday, I just got to the DMV super early, filled out some forms, waited a long ass time in line, and then boom, got my license just like that. So like people are terrified of parallel parking. If you live in Austin and you're terrified of that, good luck to you. But like, I do wonder if your plan were to come to fruition where it's like, no, every X amount of years, you got to actually take another driver's test. I wonder how many folks would struggle / fail because of the parallel parking segment of that test.
Absolutely. I mean, I know they would. I mean, people, even the whole backing in. I mean, because everybody around here wants to back in. You're trying to get somewhere and you're trying to get inside and you're kind of in a hurry. You're in a time crunch and you get behind somebody that wants to go ahead and back their vehicle in, usually a big truck, which no offense to the big truck guys. But I'm like, man, if you want to back it in, can you at least like get it in between the lines the first time instead of here jacking around? But driving.
There's that today. Thank you for listening. Thank you all for listening to that.
Oh man, that was great right there. That's a good bit.
First world problems, I suppose. But hey, let's give some sponsor shout outs. I got a couple of videos I want to show you here, Double R. But some love to our man Tom McKay at AV Consultations. Oh my God. We played this sound this morning during Bucky and BK, and I was taken aback. It's an old throwback Thursday AV consultation spots. And it's Tom and the kid, and my, have the years flown by. Take a listen.
Hi, this is Tom McKay, owner of Audiovisual Consultations.
I got this, Dad. This is Camilla McKay, and my dad can help with any TV or stereo needs you have around your house. Just call him, and he will come to you with advice and a great price. And the guys that work for him are awesome. They can install anything, anywhere. So, like my dad says, just relax and smile. We handle all the work.
So just give us a call at 255-8678 or on the web at avconsultations.com.
Oh, my God, the kid.
The kid. Wow. That was 12 Dude. Years ago. She was 8 at the time that was recorded.
You know, it's actually funny that you, ironic that you play that, because every year at Christmas time, when our girls come home, and you know, now they're grown, and you know, one's got a job, the other one's about to graduate from college, I've got an old PC to where I was just learning how to run a mixer, learning how to use mics and all this stuff, and we would do like just random stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I've got tapes of my girls that sound like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, holy smoke. But that kid, especially with what is Camilla, I mean, she's got a like a great voice. Is she a voice person, or what does she do? Is she, I know she's in college, but
she's,
man,
in college she's right now. And yeah, she does a bunch of acting. Yep. Yep. Yeah. She's been in a bunch of plays and does a lot of musical theater, and is just supremely talented in a bunch of different realms, but yeah, especially in that realm. But it's crazy. Like, she doesn't sound like that at all anymore. And that's how life works. She was 8, and now she's, yeah, I guess, 20. So, but that's like, oh my God, I heard that this morning. And I'm like, damn, they grow up so fast. It's not even my kid, and they grow up that fast.
It happens. So hey, speaking of that, BK, I do want to mention, speaking of theater stuff and acting, a great friend of ours, my wife's best friend growing up from high school, her daughter, Ava Moak, who is actually a theater, she does tremendous talent that she has. She actually won an award last night and will be performing on Broadway.
Yo,
as a high school senior coming up.
Good so, for her.
Congratulations. Really cool stuff like that.
Yeah. Congrats to your friends, and congrats to her. And that's amazing.
Dude, wow. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that
very
crazy?
Cool. Very cool. One of our own, right? Central Texas.
There you go.
Legends making it to Broadway. That's what we like to see.
There you go, man.
Very cool. There you go. All right, shout out to AV Consultations. Also, some love to Covert Bee Cave as well. The best car dealership in the world is Covert Bee Cave, part of the Covert Auto Group. They've been around since 1909. Covert Bee Cave, the newest set of dealerships off of 71. I heard you talking earlier, Double R. It's a beautiful drive out there to Covert Bee Cave. And once you get there, well, there's a lot of beauty there too, because they've got an unparalleled selection of new and pre-owned car, trucks, and SUVs. And great service, fantastic people who are going to take care of you every step of the way. And, of course, the best prices that you could possibly find. So covertbeecave.com is the website. But more importantly, head on out to Covert Bee Cave if you're looking for a car. Hell, even if you're not looking for a car, you might fall in love with something out there at Covert Bee Cave. All right, Double R, we'll start with this. We've got the potential Houston Texans new helmet leak.
Wow.
I want to get your thoughts on this. Okay. So the Texans... they've had a great offseason. People are excited about the future of the Texans for a number of reasons. They're coming off of an incredible season with D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud in their first years in H-Town. And they are about to unveil some alternate jerseys and some alternate helmets, at least one of each, but it might be plural, jerseys and helmets. So this is a leak. This has not been confirmed by the Texans or anyone actually involved with the Houston Texans, but we do have a leak for what an alternate lid could be for the Texans. I want to get your thoughts.
Oh, man, that looks like UFL.
You're giving them the United Football League treatment?
That looks like UFL. I'm not the biggest fan of that. I saw a leak. Well, I don't think it was a leak. I think it was a wish during the week to where they would actually do something, you know, an alternate where they would go back to the Columbia Blue or some form or fashion of the Columbia Blue, like back in the old days of the Oilers right there. But that, honestly, right there, what you just showed me, that looks like Hendrickson High School. that's kind of what their stuff looks like.
It looks like the same color, that deep steel blue, as they call it in Houston, for the actual shell of the helmet. And then you've got that sort of Columbia blue-ish color on the font. It's an oldie English H with a little star next to it. So I'll pull up the, you know, the normal Texans helmet so you can get kind of the side-by-side comparison. So the Texans, I mean, they've had these helmets and this logo since day one. Now, within the last couple of years, they've added the alternate red helmet, which I think looks sick.
I like the red, dude.
Same logo. Everything's the same except it's just red instead of the dark blue that you see right here.
Yeah.
But, this is what they are. Once again, just a leak. We don't know if it's true or not, but a potential new look for the Houston Texans in 2024.
Yeah, I like the – what do they call that? Battle Cry Red? Is that what they call that when they put that on? Or
I think it's just Battle Red.
Battle Red. Okay, Battle Red. I like the red. And I got to tell you, BK, I think a lot of – because I was an Oilers fan. I mean, hell, I got one laying back here on my shelf.
There it is.
You know, I'm a Cowboys guy, but I mean, I love the Oilers. And of course, so when all that left, I'm still bitter about all of that. And when they became the Tennessee Oilers and all this stuff, I mean, I'm like, give me a break. But I don't know if it's them being called the Texans. I know they were Texans before, but I've just never been able to buy into the Texans. And I think a lot of it is that logo is just kind of,
it's a lame name. The Texans is a lame
it
name.
Is dude
like it's more of just a statement of fact, like Houston Texans. If you live in Houston, you're a Texan. Congratulations, thank you for telling me something I already knew. I would have preferred, you know, they would have gone with something different, but at this point they're not going to change, right? Like just who they are. They've been around for more than two decades, so you can't fix that. But yeah, I mean, Oilers and that logo and those colors, like the next level stuff right there. That's why Houston wants the Oilers history back so bad. Well, that and a few other reasons, and they should have the Oilers history and the logo and the colors and whatever. But like that shit was awesome. The Texans, it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm glad that they're good. I mean, you know, whatever, but it's just, I mean, to me, the Texans, I mean, you had the Dallas Texans. I mean, that when they came up with that name, I'm like, man, that's recycled. I mean, do like St. Louis, call them the Astros. I mean, where you had, remember when St. Louis had the Cardinals that were the football team and the baseball team? Maybe do something like that. I mean, it's like, I've just never been able to get into that. And I think it is a lot of that. And I love red, white, and blue, but I mean, it's like, all right. And that's why I like the Battle Red, because that does seem a little more, a little spicier to me.
Yeah.
One thing's for damn sure, if you're a Texas NFL fan, you probably had a root for them because they seem to be going in the right direction other than the other team that was silver.
I kind of dig these helmets. I really do. I don't like the red star. I think that looks stupid. I think it should just be the H. Yeah. I don't know what it is, man. Maybe it's just that Columbia-ish style blue.
It could be the color,
That I like, and I don't know. I think the H is not that bad. So could they have done better? Yes, but I don't hate it as much as a lot of folks chiming in do right now.
Yeah.
And blast from the past, Double R. I don't know if you remember this, but Houston was between five candidates when they were deciding on the name of the expansion franchise in early 2002 is when they started, but I guess the year or two before that when they were picking the name. Yeah. The five candidates: the Texans, the Apollos, the Bobcats, the Stallions, and the Wildcatters.
Oh my God.
Any of those five move the needle?
I guess at this point I should be glad that they picked the Texans. I mean, because it's like this whole Washington thing, and I keep see them. I'm seeing them go back and forth with this again. I heard a couple of months back to where they may change it again, and it's like, man, just call it what it used to be called. But I know you can't do that.
I think the Apollos is the best out of that list, right? Like that has to do with Houston, you know, Space City, right? And the Astros,
kind of like the Astro thing,
the Rockets, like those are Houston things. And once again, Texan, that is a Houston thing, but. That's so lame. I think Apollos would have been the coolest one. you know, Bobcats, that's a pretty traditional sports team name, but okay, that's not really Houston. Wildcatters would have been dumb as hell. And then I don't even remember what the Stallions, like, it could have gone without that. I feel like Apollo should have been the one that went out there, but whatever is what
I gotta tell you. I did like back in the old days, again, aging myself way back to the original USFL when you had the Houston Gamblers, you know, the Jim Kelly team, and they had a pretty cool little logo right there on their stuff as well. You know, kind of the black and red. I mean, it kind of looked like tech. But the Houston Gamblers, I thought, was pretty good. I mean, it's kind of right there on that up there towards the border, you know, where folks gamble. Yeah. I like that one a lot. I like the Gamblers. It just sounded.
I do too. And they brought it back for the USFL for like the 1 year that league existed. But yeah, that's no mas, I don't think. So, all right. There you go, Texans fans. There's that for you. God, random sidebar conversation as we're just chatting it up here, chopping it up with no agenda today. Chip and Zay will be much more structured from 1 to 3. They always are. Usually are. Sometimes are. Just thinking about the Texans and talking about the Oilers, you know, it made me think, like, last night the Arizona Coyotes in the NHL played what may be their last ever game in the state of Arizona. There are reports that they are about to move to Utah this offseason. Ownership has not been good to the Yotes at all. They've been playing in a college arena. Literally, they've been playing on Arizona State's campus in like a 5,000-seat arena the last couple of years. This is an NHL franchise. Like, I don't even know how to compare. This is like the Dallas Mavericks playing at UT Arlington or something. Just a disaster what's been going on with the Yotes. And it finally felt like they were inching closer to a new stadium, but now it seems like they're about to move to Salt Lake or somewhere near Salt Lake in Utah. I'm just like, I could not imagine losing a sports team. Like, that's losing a kid to me. I don't have any kids. I've never lost it. I'm sure losing a kid is way worse than that. But that's what that would feel like to me. Like, I cannot fathom. I don't even want to think about if one of the Dallas teams just up and moved. Or, like, obviously with college, it would never happen. So, you know, like, if the Longhorns somehow weren't in Austin or in Texas anyway. Like, I can't even get that thought in my head because I feel like I'm going to cry just thinking about what would happen if that did happen. There's no worse sports pain. We were talking about, you know, the Cowboys suck. They keep letting us down. The Niners, what? Like, there is no worse sports pain than losing a freaking team. I can't even imagine the pain and suffering that the Coyotes fan base is about to go through.
Well, and that's like, I think one of the best examples of that was when the Colts, when they left Baltimore.
Yeah.
And if you go back and watch that, I mean, the way it happened, you know, it's like at night, it's snowing. You see all those Mayflower trucks that are packed with all their shit and they're heading out and leaving. I mean, that was kind of the ultimate kick in the nuts right there, the way that they did it and just took off. And that's the hard part where when they move like that, like the Colts, for example, I mean, a lot of people just know them as the Indianapolis Colts, same logo, same colors, everything. But yeah, you know, that's Baltimore's team. And of course, with the Browns and of course that whole situation, the one that I'm really kind of honed into right now is I am going to be very disappointed. And I understand that we're in a business. These franchises are in a business or in the sports business. If the Oakland A's leave Oakland, to me, that is going to be a travesty. And especially like you're talking about, if they're going to go play wherever they're going to go play in between before that stadium is ready, they're going to be playing it like the Dell Diamond, which if they were playing the Dell Diamond, I'd probably be happy. But I mean, that's about what they're drawing right now anyway. But I mean, to lose that. And I like the pushback that I'm seeing from Oakland. I like that they're boycotting, you know, not going into games and shit to try to hold on to their franchise, because it really is, man. You get honed in, you get tied into your franchise, man.
Yeah.
And, it's a huge deal. It's a huge deal.
It's done. I mean, Oakland's done. They already announced that they're moving to Sacramento for the next couple of years while they try to figure out the Vegas situation. But yeah, I mean, speaking of Oakland, first of all, more people go to Round Rock Express games than A's games these days. But yeah, how about Oakland in the last 5 years? They lost all three of their teams.
They're all leaving.
And the Raiders are in Vegas. The Warriors went to San Francisco, which is, you know, obviously close, but like not in Oakland. And then the A's are leaving for Sacramento and then for Vegas, probably. So, yeah. Dude, losing one team, like whether it's the Oilers or the Colts or, you know, the St. Louis has lost a couple of NFL franchises, right? Like, losing one team is nightmare fuel, but losing three in 5 years, I mean, what do you do? Like, do you follow your team? I have some buddies who are Rams fans, right? And like from St. Louis or lived there. And like a couple of them kept with the Rams and a couple of them just swore them off. Like, one of my best friends was pumped when the Rams won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago in LA. And then a couple of them were like rooting for the Bengals in that game because they were so pissed that ownership moved them away. I don't know what you do. It's like you have such an attachment to the franchise, but they're not in your city anymore, which is why you're probably a fan of them in the first place. Like, how the hell do you go about that? You just pick another team?
Yeah. I got to tell you, the one that I thought would have been really interesting, and again, it was a very bad situation, but when Hurricane Katrina hit, you know, devastated, Louisiana, New Orleans, I mean, the Superdome was all ripped up, you know, just a mess right there. And when the Saints came to San Antonio and drew really good crowds, and, San Antonio, a lot of times it's been mentioned as a MLB destination or a NFL destination or whatever, but when the Saints occupied the Alamo Dome, I thought, now that's a good fit. I mean, but again, that may be a homer. I'm a Texas homer, but you had the Saints in San Antonio with all the religious history and all that. That would have been a good landing spot. And of course, everything worked out. The Saints went back home and they won a Super Bowl. But to lose a franchise and it's a bad thing when it's ownership based. When the ownership, like FedEx Field. I mean, with all of that right there, not doing anything to try to make that any better. The weird situation is we can talk about, you know, Oakland's and all the different places. I saw that with Kansas City in that state that the projected or on the ballot renovations for Arrowhead that failed. So it's like, what's going to happen there? I mean, I don't think the Chiefs would leave, even though the Dallas mayor invited him back.
Yeah. But
you see that? It's like, come on home.
We'll take you. You know, we could even trade. We don't even need two franchises here. You can have this one. Yeah. Take another one from Dallas. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm curious what happens with the Chiefs. They're going to stay in Kansas City, but it's weird. It felt like that downtown stadium was going to happen. And now I'm not so sure, but I don't want them to leave Arrowhead, man. That place is effing sick. No. And I know that's not how it works nowadays. Like, you got to have the newest and brightest and best stadium/arena in sports. It's like an arms race with all these pro franchises. And there's obviously value when you build something new like that because it adds value to your team. But, man, Arrowhead's such an elite place to catch a game that I don't want that to go anywhere anytime soon. But, yeah, man, it's – I don't know. Random thought, like I feel for those sports fans, and I don't think I'll ever have to worry about that personally because I'm just from such a big enough city, or I grew up in such a big enough city to where I don't think any of those teams are leaving. But holy crap, it happens way too often in sports.
It absolutely does, man.
Greedy billionaires. All right, quick shout out to Altstadt Beer, the best beer that you can find in the state of Texas. Wherever you're tuned in, you've got Altstadt near you. Just head to your local grocery store or liquor store, and you can find 6 packs of Altstadt beer. They've got a number of different brews too. Something for every beer drinker out there. The lager, the Kolsch, the light, the Hef, the pills, so many options. Plus some great seasonals too. Check out that Peach Radler. It may be making its way to stores sometime in the not too distant future. Used to just be a seasonal. It might be more of a real deal thing. And if you haven't tried it yet, oh man, it is incredibly refreshing, especially as the weather starts to heat up. I'm not a huge fan of the fruit beer combo, but this shit is dangerously good and dangerously addicting. Be on the lookout for the Altstadt Peach Radler, but of course you can get all of your other favorite brews in stores and at your favorite bars and restaurants right now.
That's right.
All right, Double R, a few minutes left. I have actually not watched this, but I saw this on Twitter, and I was so intrigued by just the caption and what this video could be that I felt like we needed to play it on the midday show. So I heard you and Wags talking about women's sports a little bit and talking about Caitlin Clark a little bit. And, of course,
I think I know what this is.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe you know what this is. She was just drafted #1 overall earlier this week by the Indiana Fever, and the TV ratings for the WNBA draft were spectacular. I mean, far and away the best that they've ever been. I heard you and Wag say, like, y'all watched it for the first time ever. I watched the WNBA draft for the first time ever. And a lot of big names, but let's be honest, Caitlin Clark is the biggest reason why seemingly everybody tuned in. So she was introduced. She was drafted on, what was that, Monday night when the draft went down?
Yep,
she was introduced in Indiana. And ask you this, Double Art. First of all, we acknowledge that Caitlin Clark is a stud, one of the greatest college basketball players of all time, men's or women's, obviously the leading scorer in the history of college basketball. And I think we're all excited to see. I'll be tuned into some of her games this year because she's so much fun to watch, and she's just that good of a hooper that she's almost must-see television right now. So let's get that out of the way. But, you know, Caitlin Clark, some folks find her attractive. I think she's a good looking young woman. And you know, I think she's single. Like, I don't know anything about a relationship with her. There's no like super public husband or fiance or boyfriend, at least as of right now. So I think, during this introductory press conference, a member of the Indianapolis media maybe tried to shoot his shot. We'll watch this. Maybe I'm setting this up the wrong way, but here's apparently an awkward slash cringy moment that took place at Caitlin Clark's presser the other day.
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me and we'll be able to get along just fine. So, question is.
Okay. Yeah, so the little heart hand gesture that Caitlin Clark does to her family at the end of every game, that's what this reporter, I guess, did in the stands. And he's just like, start doing this to me and we'll be okay. And dude, that is so creepy, man.
That is a creepo right there.
That is disrespectful, number one, but also, yeah, incredibly creepy and weird. And I don't know what that guy looks like or how old he is, but that's a bad bit from Mr. Greg Doyle of the Indy Star.
My goodness. I mean, that's one of those things. I've got some friends that work for the Indy Star, through the IndyCar stuff. So I'm going to be reaching out to kind of get what the response has been for that, because that is 100% certifiable Creepo Johnson right there. I mean, if you want to try to reach out to her, whatever you, I mean, and that's where, and I think that's where journalists are so weird, because I see a lot of people that get into those situations and I'm like, you're a paid professional. I mean, don't act like that. Don't be asking for autographs. Don't try to hit on somebody. Don't be doing all of that, man. That, I bet that guy's got himself. He's probably on the FBI watch list at this point.
Yeah. Did he really say, I like that you're here
too? I like that you're, and the way that he started that, when he's like, Caitlin, he sounded like a shy, scared boy trying to ask a girl out to the prom.
You want to see a picture of Greg Doyle?
Oh God.
You tell me if you think Caitlin Clark would be interested in this. Greg Doyle of the Indy Star. Potentially, I don't know if he was shooting his shot. I don't know if he was just nervous. I don't know if he was trying to be funny. I don't know what the hell that was. But if that's your attempt to shoot your shot at Caitlin Clark, you thought that was going to be the line that was going to get you in her good graces and maybe think about sleeping with you as a member of the media, which the odds of that happening were ridiculously slim from the jump. Like, that was your best effort there, Greg? Are you kidding me?
Dude, come on.
Yeah.
If you're going to be a full-out creepo, I mean, don't do it in public. Jeez, don't make it so obvious right there. Oh my goodness. She handled that well. She kind of laughed it off or whatever, but it's like, my goodness.
I had to remove that picture. I can't look at that anymore. That guy's creeping me out. I can't even imagine how Caitlin felt in that moment.
He kind of looks like he's shooting his load right there or doing something right there. Where's his hands at? What do I do with my hands?
I'm sure I want to know the answer to that. But I did just do a Google search for Greg Doyle, and he did post a public apology on Twitter and also wrote an article for the Indy Star saying, Caitlin Clark, I'm so sorry. On Wednesday, I was part of the problem. That was the title of the article. So I don't know if it was him realizing he screwed up or him being told by his superiors at that newspaper that he had to, you know, do something about this if he wanted to keep his job. But he has realized that he made a mistake, or he made it seem like he realized he's made a mistake. And
yeah,
I guess good for him for that. But Jesus, dude, that is rough.
Don't be that guy, man. Don't be that guy. And the whole thing is, I mean, he just sounded, I mean, the way it sounded, it would be one thing if it was, you know, it sounded kind of normal, but yeah.
Do that to me and we're going to be all right.
We're going to be all right.
Who the hell do you think you are, guy? Like, yeah, why, she does that to her family, like the people she loves more than anything in the world. You think she's going to like do that to you, random ass reporter in a city that she just moved to? What are we talking about?
Yeah. She sends that to her dad. Come on.
So if I'm Caitlin Clark and I'm Caitlin Clark's family, I'm filing a restraining order right now on that guy.
Yeah.
He's not allowed. He's not right allowed there. At Fever's games. We got to pull his credentials and we got to make sure he can't be within like 500 feet of anywhere that Caitlin Clark is. I'll go ahead and do that for her.
What a weirdo. Jeez.
Yeah. Weird bit. So there's your random WNBA story of the day.
Be better.
Indeed. All right. Two guys who are always better. They always
speaking of weirdos.
Yeah, I don't know. It's Joe, Chip and Zay with the heart.
Damn, Zay, how you get the hearts to come out?
Yo, I just threw it up in honor of Caitlin Clark and Turbo.
It's like hearts coming out. That didn't happen.
Man, I'm glad y'all are here. And if you guys give me that heart every day, we're going to be all right.
We're going to be all right.
Yeah, that's the only thing that would have made it worse if he just turned it into the Kendrick Lamar song right there. Like, that would have made that even cringier from Greg Doyle of the Indy Star. My God.
Yo, you know what's crazy? Caitlin Clark's boyfriend works for the Pacers.
I didn't even know she had a boyfriend. So that's news to me. That makes this even dumber. I thought the guy was trying to shoot his shot at least at a single woman. He had no chance with her, so it was dumb and it was incredibly unprofessional. But now that I hear that she is a man already, then that makes this even stupider.
Yo, he was in the building too. Like, he was there. He got every bit of that awkwardness.
Was it the first guy that she? I think she kissed the dude right when she got called up. Maybe that was him. Because I saw she hugged a dude.
It wasn't Greg Doyle, I can tell you that.
Hey,
speaking of creepos, I was watching that close that I noticed that.
Hey, Caitlin Clark's boyfriend, salute, dog, in honor of Stedman and Corey Gable and all these other men that are coattailing on their women because they're women just made 20 mil with Nike. I know everybody's talking about her salary with the WNBA. Don't pay attention to that. What she's making with Nike, the
mailbox money.
Yo, man.
Mailbox money, her salary. Yeah.
Caitlin Clark's boyfriend. I quit the Pacers. What's the point?
What's the point? There is no point.
Like, stay at home, dude, with the dog, living good. You get to go overseas with her when WNBA season's over because all women basketball players play overseas ball. So, yeah, man, that's good living.
Yeah, it's a great
goal. Did you see that, Chip? You ever done that at a presser?
No, what did Greg Doyle do?
Here's the video with the accompanying audio. This is from Caitlin Clark's introductory press conference with the Indiana Fever this week.
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. That you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me and we'll be able to get along just fine. So, question is.
So he was holding up the heart that Caitlin Clark always holds up to her family at the end of every game. And yeah, and she's like, "You like that?" And he's like, "Yeah, I do. I like that you're here." And then he's like, "Oh, yeah, if you do that to me, we're going to be all right." It's like,
yeah.
Jeez, dude, what are you doing?
I bet when she said, "You like that," I can only imagine what was going through his head to hear her say, "Do you like that?"
God.
You like that?
I mean, yeah, what was she supposed to say? The guy didn't even ask a question. He's just like holding this up like, "Yeah, that's my hand sign. thanks. I know. Thanks for showing me. Like, it was bad. It was a bad moment for Greg Doyle, and he's publicly apologized. And I don't know. That's a disaster for him.
What, people don't like our bootleg screen share?
Yeah, you know, it's bad bootleg. Yeah,
I like how Zay does it. Watch this.
Yeah, it's like hold
this out. Yeah. Hey man, going back to the roots. Come on, gotta humble you people every now and then. Life's too easy. Everything's too accessible.
Don't spoil them, brother. Don't spoil them.
What's my what are my Tigers doing beating up on your Rangers?
Oh, I forgot that already started. Yeah, well, it's Jack Leiter making his major league debut, so I guess it's not going very well.
Yeah.
What's the score? Oh, it's 5-4 Rangers. What do you mean beating up? You're losing.
Oh, Chip.
Man.
And the Rangers
didn't the Tigers, win last night?
No, they won two nights ago, but the Rangers have won two of the first three. They're going for the series win today. So,
all right. Never mind.
Come on,
carry
man.
On.
God. Well, I hate seeing the Jack Leiter struggle, but
Rangers. Oh, the Rangers just went up 6-4.
There we go. What are your Tigers doing losing to my Rangers?
Yeah, there it is.
That's expected.
Shoot. All right, gentlemen. We will
norm.
We'll part ways you guys are family to me. So boy, I cannot do this shit at all. This does not look like a heart in the slightest.
That. I don't know what that is.
I don't know. I was throwing up like the blood sign or something. I don't even know what that is. Goodness gracious. All right, guys. See y'all tomorrow. Have a great show.
See you, fellas. Appreciate y'all. Yeah.